Right, this is like interview without permission now. So who are you?
I'm Steve.
And where are you from?
I'm from Australia.
And what do you do in Australia?
I'm a climate activist in Australia.
And what kind of climate activism have you done in Australia? I noticed your t-shirt kind of gives a clue.
Yeah, we're anti-coal. We do mining activism and coal exports, just anything around coal really.
And kind of Australia is the place to be if you're into coal.
Yeah, that's right. We're big on coal there. We eat it, breathe it, sleep with it, you know. Some of us do.
Do they have that saying in Australia? It's like taking coal to Newcastle.
Taking coal to Newcastle. Not that I've heard, but, you know, they should because Newcastle's got the biggest coal port in the world, so it would make sense in Australia.
I wonder if your Newcastle was named after... Well, obviously was named after our Newcastle, I imagine.
Yeah,
no, not necessarily. I remember seeing loads of Newcastles. But I think the expression here comes from the fact that Newcastle in the UK is a place where, you know, it was the centre of coal movement, and it'd be stupid to take coal there because that's where it came from. And Newcastle in Australia is the same thing. That's like the biggest coal
port. Yeah, that's where we load it onto the ships and export it around the world, you know. It's not necessarily where the coal is getting mined, but it's where they're sending it onto the ships. It's getting mined in the Hunter Valley, which is about, you know, roughly 100 k's west of there. A huge basin there, expanding out of control there. The Newcastle port currently exports about 100 megatons of coal a year. By 2018, their plans to expand it to 280 megatons a year. So we've got our work cut out for us in trying to stop the expansion. And obviously, by stopping the expansion, we're going to stop the mining of the coal in the Hunter Valley as well.
And Australia is also one of the main exporters of uranium. So it's like it's a win-win situation. Whichever way the world turns, yep, Australia wins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. We're basically badass in Australia. We've got a lot of resources, and we're just taking advantage of it all, really.
However, you seem to be like there's a bit of a karma going on, because I don't know if it's still true, but I seem to remember that Australia had like a drought for the last 10 or 15 years. Is that still going on?
Well, I've never experienced a drought, to tell you the truth. There's a lot of talk about Australia being a dry country. Like, we've got a huge fucking desert in the middle, but it's a huge country. A lot of the coast gets a lot of rain. I don't feel the starving for water. You know, some of the suburbs around Australia have water restrictions. We've just opened up our second desal plant at the moment, so there are some restraints around water, but it seems to me that we've got a fair few reserves. And as far as climate change is concerned, there are some areas in Australia that are going to be with less water, but there's also other areas that are going to have, you know, more water. So I think it's a bit ironic, really. You know, we're exporting a shitload of coal, and, you know, one of the richest countries in the world, and we're going to be one of the better off countries out of climate change. I think Australia's going to feel a lot from the bushfires. Like, we get a lot of bushfires generally anyway, and I reckon the predictions are that there's going to be a lot of burning, which is part of the tipping point with climate change. So it's a scary thing that's happening around Australia, and it's one of the things that I guess Australia's not really feeling the pressure of climate change, but the bushfires are one of the things that can be related to climate change, but it is a hard sell to the public because they just think Australia's always had bushfires and this is just another one of those, you know?
There's obviously some climate activists in Australia, and we hear about things that you do, and they sound pretty amazing. So what are you here to do? Are you here to tell people about what you're up to, or what did you hope to achieve coming to the conference?
Well, what we wanted to bring over here to Coochinbumba is some inspiration and for the Global South, and to let them know that they have allies in the rich countries, that there are thousands of people in Australia fighting tooth and claw to combat climate change, and they're not alone. Their voices aren't necessarily falling on deaf ears in the rich countries. So we're hoping to bring that message over here to give some inspiration and let them know that they're not alone, that we're walking right along beside them. And also to build our networks here in Coochinbumba with other countries, with countries from the Global South and countries from the North as well, and hopefully collaborate more and campaign on climate change as a global issue. After all, that's what it is. We've been haven't had a real lot of success with campaigning against the coal industry over the last 5 years or so, and we're trying to branch out now. I feel like the Australian climate movement is concentrating majorly on the domestic coal, and we need to start campaigning globally and bringing some of those messages that are happening around the world in climate-affected communities back to Australia to try and get the Australian people to feel it in their heart a bit more, and hopefully we'll take action.
So are there any initiatives or targets or campaigns or dates which you're going to take back home that you're going to be working around this year that you've kind of picked up from being here?
Definitely the Climate Justice Action Group's been pushing the 12th of October as a global day of action, and I'm pretty excited to take that back to Australia and announce that. Australian Climate Camp is penciled in to be around October, so I reckon that's going to be a pretty good hookup. And my group, Rising Tide in Australia, has asked me to come over here and try and make connections with the countries that are importing our coal, so the Asian countries, Japan, Taiwan, Korea, and so forth. And we've had some success with meeting some of those groups, not necessarily groups that campaign on coal specifically, but I'm hoping those contacts will be able to feed me to other contacts that will want to collaborate with actions we do in Australia, and so we can give the message that at places we're exporting our coal to don't want our coal, they're feeling the heat from climate change as well, and it's a global issue.
One last thing, I've got to ask, it's a stupid question, I'm going to ask it anyway. Climate Camp in the UK decided to send two people to this conference to kind of do exactly the things that you've been doing and pay for their flights. And there's been some criticism of the fact that a climate change campaign would, and one that had kind of campaigned on the airport expansion, would actually pay for flights. Somebody mentioned that people from Rising Tide had come without flying. In fact, they took 4 months and arrived today, I believe. You came all the way from Australia. How did you get here?
We flew in an aeroplane, and this is something that we'd thought about, and we're expecting the media to question us about, and we'd actually heard about what has happened in the UK and the media stories there, and I guess it's something that we took very seriously. Me and my partner came over here and never had envisioned flying again because of the impacts it has on climate change, and after talking to a number of activists who we respect greatly in Australia, we decided that the potential outcomes that we could achieve over here would outweigh the carbon footprint